Like, yeah. No one would be terribly surprised if Andy Farrell picked Robbie Henshaw. Like, oh, he's shit. No, get him out of the team.
That's not what
the commenters are saying.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
I think they'll go all the way to the final, to be honest.
Yeah?
Yeah. I believe in Mike Hanke, and I suppose they're good at football. They just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12. I love playing 10. I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
Thank you for all the supporters. Thank you for the team. Thank you, France. Merci la France. Merci les baguettes. Merci les croissants. Je vous aime. I love you.
Hello, you're very welcome back to the second episode of Word on the Street. There is so much we could have covered this week in the world of sport. I mean, the Women's Six Nations just wrapped up this week. A fantastic campaign for Ireland coming third. Dublin also lost to Meath. I think it was their first Leinster Championship defeat in almost 15 years, so there was so much talk about there. But with Eve being the resident football fan that she is, we couldn't touch on anything except for Liverpool winning the Premier League. So, you're very welcome to episode 2 of Word on the Street, and we're calling it The Irish Who Can Swim, the Liverpool-Ireland Connection.
Yeah, it's a tricky one for me. Love my football, but obviously a bit of a sad one for me as well, being a Spurs fan. Liverpool winning their 20th top flight league title by beating Tottenham 5-1 at Anfield. It was a remarkable victory, really, for them. Not only that it was a big scoreline, but also, you know, this meant that they won the league with 4 games to go, which is, I think, in the era of, you know, last gasp league winners, that's quite unusual. Liverpool also hold the record, actually, for the earliest Premier League win back in the COVID season with 7 games left to go. So, you know, they weren't even on it this season. They've done better. But yeah, huge celebrations for Liverpool fans. And that kind of made us think, you know, Dublin, but Ireland in general, have such a connection to Liverpool. You can throw a stone walking down Georgia Street, Drury Street, Grafton Street, and you're going to hit a Liverpool fan. And so we went out again to the streets to kind of talk about what Liverpool means to Irish fans. And we got some great answers.
Yeah, before we delve into everything that the Irish public had to say, speaking of the Liverpool fans, did you see the Flair stuff?
I did.
I thought that was the funniest practical joke I've ever seen.
So it was a bunch of Everton fans who, or I think one Everton fan at least, who bought up a bunch of flares and labelled blue ones as red ones in the hope that Liverpool fans would buy them. And they did. If you look at the footage inside of Anfield at the full-time whistle, or even before the full-time whistle, you can see some spots of blue. It's great for teams like Everton who, and I can say this as a Tottenham fan, we are currently below them in the league. For teams like Everton who aren't winning games or championships or anything, trophies consistently, like Spurs are, you need to get your little victories, you know, against your rivals. I think that was great crack. I think it was, you know, fair play to them.
Yeah, that photo is just, it's going to be iconic. Like that one of it's red everywhere and then just one massive puff of blue. I was listening to a podcast where they were talking about somebody literally just bought like hundreds of the blue flares and spent ages unwrapping the packaging and then relabeling it as red. I honestly thought it was so clever. I wish they had flares at like rugby matches and stuff that I go to, because imagine a Munster Leinster like semi-final or rivalry and they've got a bunch of Leinster flares and someone lets off a red one. There'd be chaos. It would be hilarious. So I thought it was incredibly clever, and hats off to the guy who thought of that. I hope they continue to do it. But delving right back in to Ireland and Liverpool, mm-hmm. I didn't quite realise the massive connection between Irish fans and Liverpool.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you look at, you know, historically, there's always been a connection between the two cities, Dublin and Liverpool especially. But I mean, growing up as a football fan, Liverpool fans are ubiquitous. They are everywhere in this country. And I mean, the atmosphere in the past kind of week or so after they won the league, you can tell there is Liverpool fans just everywhere. And it's been a kind of, yes, the historical ties, the emigration that's happened, and we're going to talk about that a bit later on. But for a team that doesn't have, there's obviously Caoimhín Kelleher is their second choice goalkeeper now. He's Irish, but they don't have a kind of a current crop of Irish players, but historically they did. And kind of Ray Houghton and all these lads. And there's a really interesting dynamic of why people are supporting Liverpool. Emigration, family ties, looking at Irish players who've played for them. You get a kind of a mix of all of them. And certainly they are one of the biggest teams for Irish fans who are supporting clubs not from Ireland, definitely.
Yeah, it was really interesting for me not knowing that much about the Premier League and about football that there could be such a massive connection. And we'll play the clip now in a second, but kind of the first thing that people look at is those historical ties and the fact that so many people emigrated over to Liverpool, and that's why there's so many Liverpool fans. Sorry. So let's play that first clip because the guy explains it much better than I ever could.
Meant winning the league meant everything to me because Liverpool is like little Dublin. There's a lot of Irish in Liverpool and they're great people and the best team in the world.
Is that why there's so many Liverpool supporters in Ireland?
Yes, because a lot of people emigrated to Liverpool when they emigrated to England years ago in the 40s and the 50s and whatever. And there's a lot. And when you talk to any Liverpool person when you're over there, they'll always say, I have people that live in Ireland.
So that was really interesting. I mean, that line about calling it Little Dublin, what's that all about?
Well, obviously, you know, there's a huge connection between the cities, but it's that kind of big wave of emigration was so long ago. You know, it was kind of early 20th century. So for that to still be such a huge part of the culture, and I think that's what he was really getting at. It's such a cultural thing supporting this football club, you know, and that's why these kind of celebrations and these victories mean so much. Because I feel like if you're not a football fan, it's difficult to understand just how much people live and die by their football teams. You know, it's different to supporting a national team. You know, you're going to support your national team, but that's maybe not as frequent. You know, when you're going to the football, not even going to the football, if you're living in Ireland supporting Liverpool, but you're not going to Anfield every week, it's such a huge emotional investment that you're putting in that to be able to still feel a connection to this city, even though you're not from there, maybe, or you maybe only have family over there. I can see how much of a kind of family and community dynamic that Liverpool has built up around itself. And Dublin is kind of the epicenter of the international Liverpool fan base. Because it's true what he said, it is technically the nearest city to Dublin.
Yeah, that's super interesting as well, that geographically it can have an impact on who people are supporting here.
Totally. I mean, Irish fans are we see it the world over, we're loyal and we're crazy. And I feel like that's the vibes we got from these Liverpool fans this week. They love Anfield, they love going over. I mean, that gentleman said he's going to head over, you know, in May just to be there, to soak up the atmosphere. We've had people at Off the Ball, Nathan Murphy, he was over there for the last game of that when they won the league. And I mean, I've been to Anfield myself. I'm not a Liverpool fan. I'm a Tottenham fan, but I went to watch Liverpool Arsenal. Obviously, being a Tottenham fan, didn't want Arsenal to win. So I was supporting kind of Liverpool while I was there. And when You Never Walk Alone plays and they sing along at the beginning, at the end of the match, you do get goosebumps all up and down your arm. Even if I don't have any connection to Liverpool, I have a connection to England, but that's not, you know, that's not based on, I'm not a Scouser. It's still, you can't help but be kind of overcome by the culture that they've built. And I think that you saw that so much so on that final, that game, not the final game of the season, but the game they won the league against Spurs. Van Dijk, their captain, asking all the fans to wear red. It really just brought home this sense of community. And the fact that you can see that across the sea, you know, we saw the amount of Liverpool jerseys and tops that are around the place everywhere. It seems like Virgil van Dijk's message was heard loud and clear in Dublin.
Yeah, all over the world, I think. Yeah. Not even, well, we can only speak for Dublin and Ireland, but it did feel like the whole world was talking about Liverpool this week. But what was interesting as well is that not only does it go one way around, like people in Dublin feel a connection to Liverpool, but Liverpool fans also feel a connection to Ireland. And that was really interesting because we chatted to a lad from Liverpool on Grafton Street who's been living here for 5 years. And he's obviously a Liverpool fan. He's from Liverpool. But it was really interesting that he felt that connection to Dublin even before he moved here. And that leads us into our kind of second reason of, you know, that we found why do Irish people support Liverpool. It's that kind of family connection as well. Where were you when they won?
I was at home with my new baby, who's 4 weeks old. He's called Bobby. No hints there, like. So we watched it. Watch it at home. Wonderful occasion. Just fantastic.
Is Bobby going to be a Liverpool fan?
100%. I've got a Bobby and a Frankie, and they're both going to be mad Liverpool fans.
So for you, it's familial as well as just where you're from. Like, you know, whether where your kids were born, they were going to be Liverpool fans.
Well, absolutely. You ask any father into football, 99.9 of their children will support the same as the father. That's, you know, it's a Liverpool way of... In Liverpool, we used to have... It was quite mixed. You could have the mother, Evertonian, father, a Liverpoolian. The lads would always go the mum's way, but they'd always... the father's way, but there'd always be one who would slip out and become an Evertonian in our case.
I thought that was just interesting because we had a bit of a mix of people today saying why they support the club that they support. But this guy was very clear that it's a family thing. And even in Ireland where... Obviously, in Liverpool's case, it's geographically close, but some people support clubs randomly out of nowhere. And I often think, not being a huge football fan myself, how do they pick whatever club they support and why? What is the connection? But for this guy, it came, he's obviously from Liverpool, but for his kids who will be born in Ireland and grow up in Ireland, they will be Liverpool fans because he is a Liverpool fan.
Yeah, that was what was really fascinating to me, looking at this kind of Irish connection, because when you have Irish people supporting Premier League clubs, it's never going to be the fact that it's geographical. You know, there has to be some other reason. And more often than not, it is familial. Like that little kid being named after Bobby Firmino, that's so great. I think the amount of kids being born now to Liverpool fans who are going to be, you know, casually named Mo is going to be incredible. I can only thank the gods, thank God that I wasn't named after like Paul Gascoigne or something, like Paula. My dad didn't do that to me, thankfully. But
that's the case in your family as well, right? You're a Spurs fan because your dad is a Spurs fan.
Yeah, like my mother is English, but she supports Man United. She's from Birmingham, but she supports Man United. But she had no chance to indoctrinate me. My father is a Spurs fan because he loved watching Glenn Hoddle play back in the 80s. And that's my dad, my uncle, my aunt, me. I had absolutely no choice in the matter. And that sounds, you know, like you're being forced to. I wouldn't change it for the world. I feel like when you have these connections to a football club because of your family, the emotions are so heightened because it's something that you've really grown up with and it becomes a family occasion. Like every match nearly becomes a family occasion. And you can see that with Liverpool. Like that man who we were talking to, as you said, like his kids are Irish. They're going to probably maybe grow up here. But they are going to be Liverpool fans because their dad is. And it was great. It was really funny. Like that man said he had a brother who was an Everton fan. And those kind of rivalries that are born from families who geographically, you know, are from the same city. So there's two clubs you can choose to support maybe. You don't really get that as much, I think, in Ireland. Like, you know, kids who grow up Liverpool fans are going to be Liverpool fans, I think. If your dad is or your mom is or whatever. I mean, there's only one family I know and from back home in Athlone, and their parents are both Liverpool fans, and every single child chose a different team. There's a Man United fan, there's a Liverpool fan, there's a Man City fan, there's a West Ham fan, just because they like different players. So there's a few elements. Maybe you really like this player and you're going to support this club. You see kids running around the whole time now with Haaland jerseys. I doubt there's a whole wave of City fans who are, you know, 30s and 40s in Ireland. It's mainly going to be Liverpool and Man United because of their glory days. I think mainly it's family, and you can see that in Liverpool. There's a huge kind of community camaraderie and family connection.
Yeah, and it's really interesting. We were talking about earlier how it really goes in waves.
Yeah.
Obviously, it is family, and most likely if your mum or dad supports a specific club, you're going to support them too. But there is changes in that, and that often happens when a particular club is doing really well. And we were looking at, I think it was data from Meta or from Instagram, and they were taking data and they were looking at, you know, who the biggest fans in Ireland are, or sorry, what clubs have the most supporters in Ireland and how that's changed over the years. And what was really interesting was that the over, I kind of think 30s or 40s were all Liverpool fans because of the success they had in the 80s. But then the over 60s were all Man United fans because of their success way back when. So
Busby Babes.
Yeah, Busby Babes, exactly. So it obviously goes in waves, and it'll be really interesting to see like what teams are kids in Ireland supporting now, and in 20 years' time, will we see that level out in the kind of over 30s, over 40s? Will they stick with that club?
It's going to be really interesting because you're going to have kids who were born kind of in the, you know, well, kids, not even kids nowadays, kind of people our age who were born when Man United were at their peak. And, I know a lot of United fans. It's kind of kids born now or in the past 10 years. Are they going to be all City fans? It doesn't surprise me because, you know, when you have superstars at clubs like Haaland, kids are so gravitated towards that because, like, yeah, football is about geography, it's about family, but also it's about your superstars. You know, you look at Bellingham, you look at Yamal, you look at all these players who have such an aura around them that people just get drawn to them. That's another reason. And I think Liverpool have a lot of those players right now in Mo Salah, historically. So I think there's going to be no worries about Liverpool support dipping anyway.
I wonder if that's, because the question I still had / have is, why is the Premier League so big in Ireland? Why is there so much support for it? For someone who's, I mean, I'm into football. I used to play myself. I support the Netherlands because I'm half Dutch. I would always watch them in the Euros or the World Cup, whatever. But I don't watch the Premier League. I don't have a massive, you know, link like you do with a club. So I was thinking, you know, in a country where football's huge, but it's not necessarily huge in terms of the amount of people who play it. It seems like it's bigger in the amount of people who support it rather than the likes of GAA where, you know, everyone has at some point in their life in Ireland realistically played football or hurling or at least had a sibling or been dragged down to watch. Like, a lot of people play it, but yet the support for football is so strong. And it's really interesting to try and understand why that is.
Because we were talking earlier before this about kind of the numbers of clubs. And I think there's only 20 professional soccer clubs in Ireland. But if you look at the amount of GAA clubs around the country, you're talking over 2,000. It's so much easier for kids to play Gaelic than to play, I'm going to call it football, but I mean soccer. Like, I grew up playing GAA. I played Gaelic football for 4 or 5 years. But that was because I didn't really have access to a women's football team outside of school. So it's what kids are, because kids want to play sports, you know, and they're going to go into their easiest avenue. And that's often Gaelic in our Gaelic games in this country. It's so integrated into the community. But at the same time, football is like the global sport. It is everywhere on the airwaves. It's everywhere on the television. The Premier League is more accessible than ever before. So kids are growing up watching it, even if they're growing up playing GAA. So it's a really interesting, and I think we're quite unique in that way in Ireland, having a non-professional sport being by far the most popular sport in the country and by far the most played sport in the country, and having it being so uniquely Irish that we're in a very interesting position of having, you know, if you want to watch and support top flight football, England's our nearest neighbour. The Premier League is maybe still the best league in the world, most people would say. Yeah, kids are going to watch it, and they are, but they're still playing Gaelic.
Yeah, and it was interesting taking that question to the streets and hearing people talk about what you just said there, how maybe football is becoming more accessible in Ireland and kids are taking it up more and more. Do you guys feel that there's a lot of Liverpool fans in Ireland?
100%. It's, you know, Dublin in particular. Liverpool is the unofficial capital of Ireland after Dublin. We're part of Dublin. Majority of Liverpool is Irish. I'm a Cahill, can't really get much more Irish than that. Where I grew up in Liverpool, massive Irish community. Most of my pals over here, we formed the Rush Liverpool Supporters Club. We've got quite a few members. We have a good crack, mostly at Man United's expense. And you know, it's a brilliant feel. 99% of the time when you're out and about in Dublin, surrounding areas, you'd only see one football jersey, and that's a Liverpool one.
It is really interesting. I was just thinking there when we were listening to him. I mean, football's always been bigger on a global stage, but yet maybe we haven't seen the uptake in participation in Ireland to reflect that as much. But now in the age of social media, and as you said, those superstars, are kids more likely to pick up, let's call it a soccer ball, instead of a GAA or football ball? I don't know what you call it.
It's interesting because, I mean, when you think about say, just take the 90s, for example, there was a lot of Irish players, Irish soccer players who were playing in the Premier League. And that inspired kids. You look at Dennis Irwin, you look at Roy Keane. A bit later, you look at Robbie Keane for Spurs. And, you know, these players who were able to go through, maybe coming up through the Irish system and go to play Premier League football. That's maybe not happening as much anymore. We're not getting the quality players that the Premier League are able to buy now are coming from further afield. They're coming from Europe, from South and Central America. But that kind of, these superstars that Irish kids are seeing, they used to be Irish, they're maybe not anymore. But at the same time, it's in the Premier League. You know, Haaland, who's arguably the Premier League's biggest player, I think, if in terms of like marketability even, you know, he was making great waves in the Bundesliga, but he wanted to go and play Premier League football. So Irish kids, and you're so right about it being social media driven, you know, they're seeing all these compilations on TikTok and they're going out and they're playing football and they have all their jerseys with these names on them. It's very different culture to maybe how it was even when we were younger, and especially kind of maybe our parents' generation of why you're watching. So maybe the Premier League, when it first came about in the, you know, early 90s, you had that Irish representation and that's why people were watching it. But now it's become so global. It's become so huge that it's not only Irish kids wanting to watch the, like everyone is watching the Premier League. And you only have to look at, you know, any statistic of viewership. It's still is the biggest league in the world.
Yeah. He also spoke about, within his long speech, he spoke about the Rush Supporters Club. This was something that literally I only came across this morning when we were doing research, that there's so many supporters clubs in Ireland. And we were looking at Liverpool ones, but there's supporter clubs for all the clubs, as it seems.
For everything. So I'm part of the Athlone Spurs Supporters Club. My uncle is the treasurer. We, you know, we're very involved in that. My best friend, her father is Italian. He moved to Ireland, and to learn English, he joined the Athlone Leeds Supporters Club. So it's and that's very niche. It's very small. Like, it's a random town in the middle of Ireland, and yet you have these supporters clubs for pretty niche towns in England. You know, I'm not, that sounds offensive to Leeds. I didn't mean that. But my mum's a United fan, so maybe I did mean that. But it's such a huge part of kind of building a community around a shared sort of love of a football club. And when you're not living in, like for me, London, or for, you know, You'll Never Walk Alone Irish Reds, which is one of the big Liverpool supporters clubs in Dublin, to get that sense of community when you're not from that city, it's huge. You know, it's people love being able to go to a pub or go and meet up somewhere and watch these matches. And it's, you know, it's more popular, I think, than ever.
Yeah, well, even you said earlier, you know, you're trying to find somewhere to watch. Is it a semi-final tonight?
Tottenham are playing a very small Norwegian side, Bodø/Glimt, in the Europa League semi-final tonight.
Yeah, and you want to go to a pub and watch it, but, you know, you're going to have to find a friend and drag them along, even though they might necessarily want to watch a Spurs game. I suppose that's the appeal of a supporters club, that you'll always have someone who wants to watch these things with you and is just as passionate about it as you are. So we chatted to, as you mentioned, the You Never Walk Alone, what are they called? Irish Reds?
Irish Reds, yeah.
Which is a long-winded but great name in a way. And he gave us a little bit of insight into why people join these clubs.
It's the camaraderie. It's the, you know, getting together with, you know, and making friends, you know, total strangers who you'd never known before. All of a sudden, you're going away on a weekend away with them, or you're meeting up in the pub and you're having down times or good times, or you're sharing conversations and, you know, things about family, whatever. It's all about making the family bigger.
Yeah. And that's it. That's kind of exactly what I was kind of, I feel myself when I'm watching Spurs with my crew, and I'm probably going to join the Dublin one. I finally moved to Dublin. I think I'm going to do that. But it's what he said about it being a family. You know, we see that on different levels kind of throughout this discussion. It's literal a familial collection. If your dad supports Liverpool, and you're going to make your son support Liverpool, or your daughter. But it's also, you're building a family and building a community. And YNWA Irish Reds are a huge organisation and they do so many like meetups, get-togethers to watch the matches, and they actually do a lot of charity work kind of to give back, I think, to Liverpool. So it's there's a the sense of community that they've built in Dublin, which is very unique to Dublin, and yet also is very based in Liverpool. It's a really interesting footballing culture that you don't necessarily get when you're from Liverpool, because you're obviously you're based there. It's a very unique environment, and one that I think is it can be really, really quite beautiful.
Yeah, he gave me goosebumps when we were listening to him on the phone call earlier, because he was just the way he spoke about it being a family and how, you know, they step in for each other when one person is away or when something is needed. And it was just, it was actually quite emotional in a really weird way as someone who has no interest in, less interest in Liverpool and in the Premier League. I could have listened to him for hours.
Yeah, well, that's it's bloody annoying being listening to how united that, ironically, how united Liverpool are and how, you know, their community is so strong. And obviously they're on top of the world right now. They just won the league. And then you look at where Spurs are at the moment and it is so depressing. That 5-1 victory, I think we were chatting to one of the gentlemen we were chatting to on the street. He said, I got a bit nervous when Solanke scored to make it 1-0 to Spurs. I wasn't nervous. I knew exactly what was happening. And that was that Liverpool were going to go on and score, you know, quite a few goals.
Yeah, I mean, you were saying that earlier, like, you were saying that Spurs fans were annoyed when they lost, but sure, you always knew they were going to lose.
It's not to interrupt you there, but I mean, every single Spurs fan was just so annoyed after that match. And I was thinking, lads, we were never winning that match. You knew that we were never winning that match. Liverpool always batter us.
That's a hard position to be. I think a congratulations is owed to them. Can you do it?
I don't think. Listen, I'll see how the semi-final goes tonight. If I'm in a happy mood, I'll congratulate some Liverpool fans tomorrow.
All right. Well, we'll ask you next week. But for now, this has been episode 2 of Word on the Street, the Irish who can swim, the Liverpool-Ireland connection. We'll chat to you next week.
I think they'll go all the way to the final, to be honest.
Yeah?
Yeah. I believe in Mike Hanke, and I suppose they're good at football. They just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12. I love playing 10. I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
No. Thank you for all the supporters. Thank you for the team. Thank you, France. Merci la France. Merci les baguettes. Merci les croissants. Je vous aime. I love you. Hey!